So our text for this morning's meditation is from 1 Thessalonians, these words, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is the will of God. That is what God wants, what God desires. It's the will of God that we be sanctified. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be sanctified? It means to be holy. It means to be righteous. It means to be without sin, like Jesus. And not only does God, our Heavenly Father, want us to be sanctified, that is, like His Son Jesus, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and like Himself. Not only does God want us to be sanctified in the future, that is, in the resurrection from the dead. But God wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be holy in the here and now, in this life that we are now living. "Well, I know that, Pastor," you could respond. "God wants me to behave myself," you could continue. "And well, that does not seem like a lot of fun to me. In fact, it stifles my freedom somewhat. And in general, it just does not seem to be something I want to do, that is, to attain, to aspire to achieve this sanctification, this Christ-likeness. I mean, that just seems like a lot of work to me, and, well, Pastor, what's the point? How about instead I just do what I want to do and just kind of stay out of trouble? The fact that God wants me to be holy in the here and now just seems like God has this set of rules and He really just wants me to be Amish or something. Why should I be that?" Well, you have a lot of thoughts going on there in your head. The point of our sanctification is that when we do in fact live in such a way that is like Christ, our life will be better. Our life will be better. We will be at peace. And being at peace, we'll be able to think about other people. And we'll be able to love ourselves and to love other people and even, at times, be joyful. In other words, God, our Heavenly Father, would that we be sanctified so that we live a better life both in the here and now and in the life to come. It's for our good, then, that God would have us live this way, like His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The problem, the challenge for us, of course, is that as we live in the fog of sin, as our sinful desires and thoughts and feelings, they muddle up our hearts, and they muddle up our minds. So ways in which we've been taught to think are themselves affected by sin, we just can't see it. We just can't see it. We can't see how a sanctified life, a life of the Holy Spirit, a life lived in Christ our Savior, can be better than the one in which we daily and selfishly do what we want to do to gratify the desires of our old Adam. What's even worse, when we've really tried to do the right thing in the past, that is, live by the law of love, when we've pursued a life of just a tiny bit of holiness, we've often run into a whole lot of trouble. In other words, by attempting to do the right thing, our life seems to become harder than it was before. So our text from the Old Testament and the Gospel this morning, both containing incidences in which God Himself is wrestled with. In the case of Jacob, a literal wrestling match. In the case of the Canaanite woman, a plea for help, even though that help was in no way deserved. And we can feel just that way. That is, we can feel like we wrestle with God as we attempt to do that, what we should, but it just seems so hard to do. How hard, for example, can the raising of children be? How hard can it be? Yes, God blesses marriage, and yes, God would that we, if possible, have children within that marriage, but yet how difficult is that? That is just to raise children. Especially when we see our unmarried friends on Facebook partying it up in Aruba, or married friends with no children bicycling around the entire world or something like that, and upon their overly documented adventure online, what do? But return to a dream home with a view of an ocean, or at least a lake, the latest of appliances, and not a speck of dust is to be seen in any of those pictures, any of those videos. Our house. Well, our house still has some marks and scars and dents from raising six children. And dust after six children, well, we've adopted a don't see, don't act type of policy. And yet, what does God do with the challenges that we face as Christians within this world in these end times, attempting to live daily as He would have us live? What does He do with those challenges, like raising children? What does He do? He uses those challenges that we face to strengthen our faith in Him. That's what He does. That's what we just sang about in the hymn. We learn that thereby to trust in Him and learn that living in Him and by Him and for Him is indeed better than living according to the latest whims of the devil and the world and our flesh. Now, here I can think, and I don't know how I came up with this, Tommy, but it just kind of popped into my head, thinking of you, of a popular film back in the day, Karate Kid, right? I think most of us remember Karate Kid. Remember Daniel in Karate Kid? He wants to learn karate from Mr. Miyagi, and so what does Mr. Miyagi do? He has Daniel wax his car. Remember that? Wax being applied with the right hand and then polished with the left using circular motions. Wax on, wax off. Well, Daniel does that. He's not too happy about it. Mr. Miyagi then has Daniel sand a floor on his hands and knees using the same types of motions with his hands, but in the opposite direction from which he had been doing waxing the car. Sand the floor! Then Mr. Miyagi has Daniel stain his fence using specific motions. Stain the fence. And then his house. Paint his house using other motions. Paint the house. Daniel is just getting fed up with what's going on. All Daniel is doing is suffering. And what he's doing doesn't seem to be anything other than the time and labor intensive projects that Mr. Miyagi was too lazy to do himself. Do as I say, not as I do. But then Mr. Miyagi demonstrates to Daniel that by doing such tasks, such difficult tasks, such menial tasks, again and again and again, Daniel was actually learning the basic motions he needed to learn karate. So the tasks set before us for our sanctification, difficult tasks often that lead to our betterment, like raising children. For which one of us, upon hearing our children saying to us exactly what we've said to them, you remember that when that happens, they repeat word for word what we have said to them right back to us. That taught us that we needed to step up our game when it came to parenting. For when we said it, it sounded okay. But when they said it back to us, or they just repeated it, well, that sounded awful. Did we really talk that way? Did we really say that thing to our two-year-old? Well, yeah, we did, because the same thing came right back at us out of their mouth. Granted, so much of what we do from day to day to day in pursuing righteousness, doing what we should do, seems like and often is simply wax on, wax off, sand the floor, stain the fence, paint the house. But in doing such things, in serving our neighbor in such a way, whether the neighbor is actually our neighbor or our parents or our children, we're learning the basic moves of the sanctified life by bringing under control and subduing our old Adam. For it's our old Adam that doesn't want to flee sexual immorality, for example, but he pursues it and he longs for it and he hopes for it and in passion and lust, very words used by the Holy Spirit in Scripture, partakes in whatever pleasure presents itself, thinking that the mess that is caused as a result is nothing, but of course it's something, something that can destroy our self-worth and riddle our hearts with guilt and shame and expose our bodies to all types of disease and financially destroy us in any number of ways. Yes, we are familiar with the Bible verse, which we're told to be holy because God himself is holy, Leviticus 19. But in view of our text for this morning, there's a reason for that holiness. And the reason for that holiness is so that we do not suffer from our sinful actions. And the suffering we do undergo, the challenges, the problems, can be understood as the Holy Spirit working within our lives in Mr. Miyagi-like fashion, teaching us what we do need to know, preparing us for what is to come, guiding us and instructing us for the even greater challenges that lay ahead of us in the future of which we do not know. Now, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, is sent to us for this purpose. That is our sanctification, our Christ-likeness. First of all, he's sent to us to point out to us that we are at the heart of our troubles and problems. No, not the world, not the devil, but we're the ones who are to blame. And upon realizing that this is so, that the decisions that we have made, we would so like to unmake, undo, or not do, the Holy Spirit would then convince us that a new life, a new start, a different way of moving forward is possible. And that is only through faith in Jesus Christ. Putting our faith, our hope, our trust in him, just like that Canaanite woman in the gospel reading. Why did she come to Jesus? Why? Because she heard about his power and authority over demons. And even though she was not one of the children of Israel, she believed that Jesus would help her, and she asked, and she did, and he did. In fact, she insisted. She insisted that Jesus be the Lord over heaven and earth, over Satan and his minions, that he in fact was. And that he, Jesus, do that for her, what she asked. Yes, she was nothing, but he was everything. And if she just received a modicum of what Jesus was, then she would be helped and her daughter saved. And that's what happened. For Christ, Jesus Christ, did have that authority over Satan and his minions. And what is more, in suffering and dying for the sins of all mankind, the righteous for the unrighteous, the holy for the unholy, the sanctified for the unsanctified, Christ would become the safe haven for all who turn to him like that Canaanite woman and put their faith and hope and trust in him to live right now, in the here and now, to live and be able to live in a way that does not enslave us to Satan, but which allows us to be servants of the God of heaven and earth. So the very act, the sending of the Holy Spirit to us through the Word of God has done so, that we can have such faith in Christ and through that faith receive daily the forgiveness of sin and in that faith pursue daily a life free from sin and its control over us. Yes, it is easy to get caught up in theological jargon here, but we are indeed to pursue daily the holiness of Christ and do it for our good, because it's a better way to live. It is the best way for us to live, promising the most peace, the most joy, and the most love. So let's take a look at ourselves finally this morning. Are we troubled? Are we confused? Are we angered or distressed? Are we worried or perplexed? If so, is it because of something we've done, something we've thought, something we're thinking about that is just dominating our thoughts, even we could say possessing them, so that we cannot have a moment of peace? Let us then pursue our sanctification, our holiness and righteousness, and turn to our Savior, Jesus Christ. crying out to him to release us from these things, crying out to our Savior for the strength to pursue a life lived like his, crying out to Jesus himself to continually sanctify us by his Spirit and therefore change our lives, not so that we'll become karate kids, but so that we will be Christians. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.